إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، today in this particular lecture we are supposed to be addressing the youth, and as far as I can see that's most of the audience. And actually the Quranic verses and the hadith that we are about to hear are not specific to the young nor the old. They're suitable for everybody. But we'd like to begin by drawing attention to the temporary nature of this dunya. Because sometimes we figure that because we're young, that we have a long time to live. And for some reason, that hope of a long life causes us to procrastinate in carrying our righteous deeds or correcting ourselves. And we know from the teachings of the Quran is that the more firm the belief in the life to come is in the heart of an individual, the more he's likely to correct his behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about those individuals, or some of them, who shall receive their book in their right hand. And they will call out to the people, Ha umuqra'u kitabiyya. Come and read my book. Inni zanantu, yani ayqantu anni mulaqin kitabiyya. I had certainty that I was going to meet this day and have to give an account. This person, because of the certainty that he had, it regulated his behavior. Kept him away from doing the haram, and it encouraged him to do more righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, says, وَضُرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابَ فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. الله سبحانه وتعالى in these few verses in Surah Al-Kahf, he strikes up a similitude of the life of this world. In this particular verse, he addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to address the Ummah and the people. وَضُرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. strike for them a similitude of the life of this world. كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. It is like rain that we send now from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. And then this rain mingles with the earth, and it produces vegetation. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. And after some time, the vegetation that you used to see, the different colors, the different shades, it actually dries up and the wind spreads it, it scatters it. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقَتَدِرًا. And Allah is able to do all things. The dunya that we have is, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, it is pleasant, it's beautiful, attractive. And it causes us to be negligent, forgetful of the life to come. But this particular verse teaches us that beauty is not permanent, it will pass. Allah says, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That wealth and your children, they are an adornment of the life of this world.
وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنَّ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابٌ وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا.
However, the lasting righteous deeds that you perform, they are better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of reward, and they're better in respect of hope for the people in the future. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the time when the system is going to change. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ. When we cause the mountains to move and to just disappear. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً. And you see the earth as an open plain. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ. And we gather all mankind. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. I leave no one aside. All of them. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا. And then the people will be presented in rows before their Lord.
لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ.
And you have come to us the same way we created you originally. Naked and circumcised with nothing. With nothing.
بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا.
But you claim that we would not have this appointed time for you. A lot of people are negligent of this time. فَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this particular verse about the reckoning and when the book is laid down.
فَتُرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ.
And you will see the people who are evil, afraid, because of what is in this book of theirs.
وَيَقُولُونَ تَوَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ.
They will say to themselves, woe to us, or destruction be upon us. What type of book is this?
لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا.
It leaves out nothing small nor big except that it is mentioned here.
وَوَجِدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا.
And they will find every deed that they perform in front of them.
وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا.
And your Lord shall oppress no one. This particular verse of ours that we find in the Quran, it reminds everybody to be mindful of the reality of this world and what it really is. That this particular world that we live in is something that is here, it's a test. It will fade. Just like youth passes away, for those who live to attain old age, the adornments of this world will pass away. This particular verse also reminds us of the day of accountability, so that we could prepare for it. We have the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when speaking about this time, he said,
مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنُهُ تُرْجُمَانِ.
There is no one amongst you except that his Lord shall speak to him There's no interpreter between him and his creator. فَيَنْظُرَ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ. And a person in this difficult time, he will look to his right and only see what he sent forth. وَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ. And he shall look to his left and only see what he sent forth. Prophet ﷺ said, وَيَنْظُرُ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يُرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ. And he will look in front of him and he will see only the fire. The Prophet ﷺ says, فَلَا يُرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ تِلْقَى وَشِهِ. Only the fire in front of his face. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. So save yourselves from the fire. وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرًا. Even if it means giving a date in charity. Do something to save yourself. This particular narration, which is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, encourages, like the verse encourages us, to be mindful of the day to come, that day of reckoning. And not to think simply because we are youthful that we have a long time to live or we're guaranteed tomorrow. It's not like that. I remember one day we were in school. One of the young kids came, they hadn't done their homework. And I said, when are you going to give me your homework? And she said, tomorrow, inshallah. And she smiled. The following day, we got up. And the people, the teachers, were discussing amongst themselves something that had happened. And so the administrator called me and he said to me, you know, the young girl, she passed away last night in her sleep. She's not very old. Very, very young. But most people think that tomorrow is guaranteed. So we delay on righteousness. You're never too young to die. Never too young to die. And if this is the reality that death is going to come to us all, then we need to prepare for it. As Hassan al-Basri said to that individual who was in front of him, he said, how old are you? He said, I'm 60. He says, منذ 60 سنة وأنت سائر إلى ربك. He says, for 60 years you are going to your Lord. He says, very soon you shall meet him. The person says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Surely we belong to Allah and we shall return. Hassan al-Basri says, هل تعرف تفسيرها? He said, do you know the meaning or the interpretation of what you said? He says, the person who says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, that he is from Allah, then know that if you're from Allah, then to him you shall return. And know that if you're going to return, that you will be questioned. فَأَعِدَّ لِشْتُؤَالِ جَوَابًا. So prepare for the time of questioning a response. The person says, Malhila, how can I get out of this? He says, do righteous deeds in the time that is remaining in your life, and you shall be saved. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abi Barzata, Madla ibn Ubayd al-Aslami, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن عمره فيما أثناه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the two feet of a slave will not be allowed to move on يوم القيامة until he's questioned about his age. Which you did with this time that Allah blessed you with. وَأَنْ عِلْمِهِ and his knowledge فِيمَا فَعَلَ فِيهِ what he did with it, how he acted. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ and about your wealth, how you earned it and how you spent it. وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَاهُ and even your body, how you wore it out. This particular narration, which was collected by Tirmidhi with a good chain of narrations, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, look, we are responsible and going to be questioned for all of these areas. There is a day coming, brothers and sisters, and it's not very far away. The Arabs say, كُلُّ مَا هُوَ آتٍ فُوَ قَرِيبٍ. Everything that is coming is near. It's not a long time away. For this reason, we need to be mindful and prepare for that time. Auf ibn Amr ibn Auf al-Ansari, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam بعث أبا عبيدة ابن الجراح إلى البحرين. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaida ibn al-Jarrah to Bahrain to collect the jizya, the type of tax that is levied on those who live in under the protection of the Islamic State. فَقَدِمَ بِمَالٍ, and he came with some wealth. And the Ansar, they heard about the coming of Abi Ubaida. And so they all gathered at the time of Fajr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concluded his prayer, they all gathered around him, fatabassam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, and he said to them, "Hina ra'ahum," when he saw them, "Adunukum sami'tum anna Abu Ubaida قَدِمَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. I think you all heard about the coming of Abi Ubaida with something from Bahrain." قَالُوا أَجِلْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم." The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, "أَبْشِرُوا أَبْشِرُوا have glad tidings. وَأَمِّنُوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ have glad tidings and hope for that which shall please you. For wallahi, mal faqru akhsha alaykum. I swear by Allah, it's not poverty that I fear for you. Walakinni akhsha an tubsata ad-dunya alaykum. But I'm afraid that the dunya will be made expensive for you. Get it, it comes easily. Kama busitat ala man kana qablakum. The same way it was made expensive for the people who preceded you. فَتَنَافَسُهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُهَا فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا تَهْلَكَتُمْ. And that you will vie with one another in collecting the dunya. Well, I'm mindful of the life to come. And it shall destroy you the way it destroyed them. This particular narration, which is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, here again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns the believer not to be too preoccupied with just this dunya. As a believer, we have to focus and keep our minds on the life to come. Always. And one of the things, brothers and sisters, that will help us is that you choose your friends. That you choose your companionship. You choose the people that you hang out with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in Surah Furqan, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And on the day when the person who was oppressed himself, he was sinful, he will say, "Ya, woe to me," calling out for destruction on himself. "I wish I had taken away with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhered to his teaching. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wish that I had never taken such and such as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدِ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا." Said, "Surely he has led me astray after the reminder came to me. And surely the shaitan is in respect to humanity, all mankind, a person who is always seeking them to fail." This particular verse warns about the type of friend that we choose. And that some people would have chosen friends that will lead them astray, take them away from the remembrance of Allah. And as a result of it, they will be sad on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once struck up an example, similitude, of the environment and bad companionship. This narration, which was reported by Abi Sa'id in al-Khudri, and the Nabi Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he said, there was from amongst the people before you, كان في من كان قبلكم رجل قتل 99 نفسا. A man who had taken the life of 99 souls unjustly. And so he questioned, who is the most knowledgeable person in the earth? And he was pointed to a monk, someone who was living out there in some cave or someplace. And he questioned him, he says, look, I killed 99 people. Is there any way for me to receive forgiveness? Is there any way to repent? He said, no. This person was ignorant. He told him, no. The person says, no. فَقَتَلَهُ. So he killed him. Seems like this person was truly sincere, because his quest did not stop him. And he went on questioning and asking about the most knowledgeable person in the dunya. Perhaps he'd be able to help him. And so he was directed, دُلَّ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ عَالِمٍ, a person who really had knowledge. And he came to him and he said, I killed 100 people. Is there any way for me to receive forgiveness, to repent? And this person said, نعم. وَمَنْ يَقُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ تَوْبَ. Says, yes, what is there that can go in between you and repentance? He says to him, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناس يعبدون الله فاعبد الله معهم ولا ترجع إلى أرضك فإنها أرض الصور فإنها أرض الصور. This person says to him, yes, there is in the land, in such and such a land, a people who worship Allah. So go and worship Allah along with them, and do not turn to your home, because it is a land of evil and corruption. Now one of the advices of this scholar was, look, you have to change your environment. Because if you stay where you are, it will affect you. It will be a source of prevention, a barrier between you and Tawbah and repentance. You have to change your environment if you want to better yourself. Go someplace else. Go to the place where the people are worshipping Allah and be with them and worship Allah along with them. Change your environment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, فَانْطَلَقَ. So he went, seeking this land of righteousness to change his environment so that his tawbah would be complete. When he was halfway on the street on his way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَاهُ الْمَوْتِ. Death came to him. In some of the narrations it says that this person, when death came to him, he extended his chest in the direction of the earth where he was going, just extended his chest in an effort to get where he would be with the people and seek and receive Allah's forgiveness. He extended his chest. Says here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and so the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment started to dispute concerning this individual. Who should take his soul? And so the angels of mercy said, he came seeking repentance, turning to Allah with his heart, مُقْبِلَ بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, sincere. And the angel of punishment says, this man has done no good whatsoever. لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطْ. He did no good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third angel in the form of a human being to judge between the two. It says here, he measured the earth, where he was coming and where he was going. In one narration it says that Allah commanded the earth where he was going to become straightened, yani that he was shorter, made it the distance where he was going, made it shorter where he was coming from long. Showed him mercy because his intentions were correct. And he made effort to correct himself. It says here, and they found that he was closer to the place where he wanted to go. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the angels of mercy to take his soul. فَقَبَضَتْهُ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ. And so the angels of mercy took his soul. The Ahlul Ilm, when they look at this particular narration, they take from it a number of benefits. And one of the benefits that they point out in respect of this particular narration is that your environment plays a very important part on your character and your development. And that sometimes it's necessary to change your place for the protection and safety of your deen. They also say, the person who intends to repent, that he must give up the place that he used to be accustomed and also the people, so as to help him to continue in his way of righteousness. They also point out in it is a virtue of the person who has knowledge over the person who is simply a worshipper. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a narration by Abi Musa, he said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السَّوْءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافَخِ الْكِيرِ. The similitude of the righteous companion and the evil one is like the person who sells misk and the person who is working with fire, is working at the bellows. The Prophet ﷺ says, فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ مَا يُحْدِيَكِ. If you have a person selling misk, he might give you some. Or you may purchase some from him. Or you may at least find that good aroma. This, the Prophet ﷺ gives us a similitude of the person with good character. A person whose belief system is right. A person who is on his deen. That if you mix with him, some of that fragrance is going to rub off. If you don't get some fragrance in your hand to take with you, your character is going to be affected, or at least the environment is going to leave an impression on you. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ said, as for the evil companion, he's like a person playing with fire. If he does not, he will either destroy your garment, or you will find some foul odor from him. And you will be affected. This, the Prophet ﷺ, according to the Ahlul Ilm, points out that the people should protect themselves from individuals who are corrupt, sinful, and involved in innovations. All of them, they should save themselves from those types of individuals. This was collected by both Bukhari and Muslim. Now, there is a habit that some of the people have concerning a hadith. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that he doesn't look to your form, but he looks to your heart. In another narration, it says your heart and your deeds. And one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ encourages all individuals is that we purify ourselves, our hearts, our intentions, our belief system, we purify ourselves. That inner purity is going to be seen on the outside. The way the Prophet ﷺ does it, he says, in the heart, in the body, there is a piece of flesh. If it is wholesome, the whole body is wholesome. Yani, if you are a person who is righteous inside, it will be seen outwardly. It will be seen outwardly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If it is pure, the whole body is pure. فَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا خُلَّ الْقَلْبُ. If it is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Some of the Ahlul Ilm said the heart is like the general and the limbs are like the foot soldiers. Whatever the heart commands, they carry it out. For this reason, Umar, he used to say concerning people, he used to say, during the time of revelation, people used to be held accountable to revelation. Things would come down, Allah would reveal such and such by such and such. He says, the revelation has stopped. وَإِنَّمَا نَخُذُكُمْ. But we hold you accountable for what you show to us. And whoever displays evil, we will not bring him close. And we will not allow him to be amongst us secure. Even if he says that inwardly he is sound. And he has good intentions. As for the person who shows good, we will bring him close to us and we will make him safe and secure amongst us. This particular practice of the Sahaba, which was expressed by Umar, is something that we need also amongst ourselves when looking at individuals. If someone displays bad character, then you don't want to be with that individual. You don't want to bring him close to you. No matter how he says, my heart is pure. Umar says, no, we never used to deal with the people like that. You want to see those people who are acting according to the deen, those who are concerned about the life to come, and you want to bring them close. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in an effort to help the Muslims, he used to encourage them to conduct themselves in certain ways. One of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to encourage the Muslims to do is to distinguish themselves. He used to encourage them to distinguish themselves. And this actually is mentioned and pointed out in the Quran. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, when he comments on the verse in Surah Al-Hadid, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. He looked at this verse and he said that Allah mentioned this verse, has it not come time for those who believe that their hearts should feel fear at the remembrance of Allah and what he had revealed of the truth, and that they should not be like those who have been given the book before them, and time passed over them a long time, and their hearts became hardened, and most of them are corrupt. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, when he deals with this verse, he says, وَلَا يَكُونُ, do not be like, he says, هَذَا نَهْيٌ مُطْلَقٌ عَنْ مُشَابَهَتِهِمْ, this is the absolute prohibition directed to the Muslims that they should not resemble them. وَهُوَ خَاصٌ عَيْضًا فِي النَّهِي عَنْ مُشَابَهَتِهِمْ فِي قَصْرَ فِي قُلُودِهِمْ. And it is specific also in preventing us from resembling them in the hardness of heart. Staying away from having our hearts also hardened. He says, وَقَصْرَةُ الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْمَعَاصِي. And hardness of heart is a direct consequence of sin. But this particular verse, as Ibn Kathir says, the Prophet, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَهَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَتَشَبَّهُ بِهِمْ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْفَرْعِيَّةِ أَوْ الْأَصْلِيَّةِ. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids the Muslim from resembling them in that which is basic and secondary in their affairs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith by Ibn Umar, he said, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, who resembles the people, he's one of them. Now, when they speak about resembling the people, normally, as the verse refers to, their belief system which goes against Islam, and also the way they conduct themselves and also attire themselves in a way that is specific to them. For example, the Rastafarians, they have a particular hairstyle. You know that that is a Rasta. For a Muslim to go now and to adopt that particular dress code, he comes under this particular narration, whoever resembles or intentionally resembles the people is one of them. The Buddhists, they have a certain type of cloth or clothing that they wear. For a Muslim to go and wear that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually, when one of his companions wore it, he told him, لا تلبسها, do not wear it. This is the garment of the kuffar, don't wear it. It was something that was specific to them. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I do with it? He said, burn it. This person had no intention of resembling them. His intent was not to do that. But because this was something specific to them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, don't do it. And one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, and this is for our own protection, so that the Muslim would have a unique set of characteristics and value systems, not imitating everybody, every fad that comes up. You know, they came out and I thought it was insane to think of a Muslim, a male wearing earrings. We have Muslims, they don't just have one, they get two. And I guarantee you, if they start wearing lipstick and fingernail polish, the Muslims will do it too. Because we don't understand that we have a message for mankind. We're supposed to be pacesetters and not imitators. Look at the youth. As soon as the fashion comes in, it's sagging. Most of the pants is almost all the way down by the knee. That's the waist part of it. And they consider it cool. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, look, when you resemble the people externally, it causes you to have some type of affection for them inside. So much so that you want to be with them. You start to walk like them, talk like them, think like them, until your value system is no longer Islamic. So this particular directive from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to protect ourselves. And look, not only did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, whoever resembles them is like them or one of them, he pointed out that you should distinguish yourself. You know, I was going with our brother Tahir in Philadelphia, and he said, man, look, man, the Muslims here are so strong that the kafirs, they got their pants above the ankles imitating the Muslims. And I was going down the street, and sure enough, there goes that homie down there with his pants all the way above his ankles. That's how it is supposed to be. The Muslims are supposed to be pace setters, not imitators. The youth. The youth, they're the ones the future is supposed to be carrying this banner. And all they could see, man, is a basketball player as the, that is his role model. Sometimes they sit down, that's all they talk about. That's their role models. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look, man, he said that the Jews, once the lady had a menstrual cycle, they would not eat with her. They would not keep her in the house. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, you know, about this particular affair, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. He asks you about the lady during the menstrual cycle. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ فَأَتَلِمُ النِّسَاءِ الْمُحِيطِ It's a hurt, so stay away from them during this time. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, do whatever you like with your wife, except having actual intercourse, relationship. This got to the Jews. And the Jews said, مَا يُرِيدُ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ أَنْ يَدَعَ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا شَيْئًا إِلَّا خَالَفَنَا فِيهِ Said that this man, he does not intend to leave any of our affairs alone, except that he differs. He distinguishes himself from us. The Jews understood that one of the intents behind the Sharia is that the Muslims should distinguish themselves. They understood that. They saw it in the act of the Prophet ﷺ, and we Muslims are blind to it. This was collected by Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in this particular narration collected by Ibn Umar, خالف المشركين أحوى الشوارب أوفو اللحى said, be different to the polytheists. Be different to them. Clip the mustache and let your beards grow. Now, this particular narration which is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, how do we benefit from this? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, if a person has a guest, and he tells a person, يعني أقرم بيتي, أطعمه, honor my guest. Alright? And then he says, feed him. What is intended here is honoring the guest. And feeding is only one of the many ways that you honor the guest. What is intended is honoring your guest. So when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, distinguish yourself to such and such. The point that is being brought out here is, look, you should distinguish yourself, and one of the many ways to do so is through such and such, such and such. For this reason, one of the things, one of the intents that we have behind the Sharia is that you distinguish yourself as a Muslim, male, female. That distinction helps you to have a certain type of attitude when you move into society. It helps you to have a certain type of attitude inside. It helps you to move a certain way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, according to Ya'la ibn Shaddad, ibn Aus from his father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, be different to the Jews. They don't pray in their sandals nor in their other footwear. Be different to them. خَالِفُهُمْ Be different to them. Does this mean that you have to come in the masjid with your shoes on? And if you don't have it on, you're going against the sunnah? No, it doesn't mean that. No, it doesn't mean that. You know, some of the people say, man, look, man, the sunnah, the Prophet said, pray in your sandals. He prayed with them on and off. Allowed his companions to do so. If you're coming in, it's going to cause the carpet to be destroyed. And you're going to have to be spending money over and over and over again. Then you leave it outside. If you have a wooden floor, concrete floor, and nothing like that is going to happen, malish, barakallahu fi. Tayyib. Brothers and sisters, yani, this time is my time, right? Right? Okay, so I can deal with the lecture the way I want to deal with it, right? Okay, good. I just want to read one more hadith concerning this area before moving into something else, because this is important. You know, it's unthinkable, man. Could you imagine a Sahabi walking around looking like a Buddhist monk? Or the children of the Sahaba walking around looking like some type of Hindu? No. But for some reason, as you, we seem to have lost somewhere what our risala means. Somewhere we've seen that, look, maybe Allah's name ain't good enough. You know, the Sahaba are not really good examples. Or maybe we as parents are not being falling short somewhere. So much so that the kids have to look elsewhere for examples. But something is wrong. And one of the things we have to change is that, look, we have to stop looking outside of ourselves. We have to become pace setters, pioneers, in respect of this religion. According to Abi Umama, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once walked out on a group of the Ansar, and the beard were white. And he said, Ya ma'ashar al-Ansar, hamiru wa-safiru khalifu ahl al-kitab. Says, take that and dye it a red or yellowish color to distinguish yourself from the people of the book. Now, I want you to look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have no choice over whether this is gray or not. It's going to happen if you live long enough that you like it or not. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, even though you don't have a choice over that, distinguish yourself. He says, the companions, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them this, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the people of the book, they wear the pants, they don't wear the waistcoat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you wear both of them, but distinguish yourself from the people of the book. He said, Ya Rasulullah, they wear the khuf and not the sandals. He says, Takhaffafu wa anta'ilu, khalifu ahl al-kitab. Wear both of them, distinguish yourself from the people of the book. They went on and they said, Ya Rasulullah, they shortened their beard and they lengthened the mustache. He says, you lengthen your beard and shorten the mustache. Be different to the people of the book. This particular hadith, which was collected by Imam Ahmad with a good chain of narration, it shows that one of the intents behind the Sharia is that the people should distinguish themselves. We have some of the Shabab, you know, I want to deal with this one, brothers. I'm going to have to finish this one, right? I want you to be a patient with me. Man, they walk around and their pants are dragging like it's a skirt. Like it's a skirt. Dragging all over the ground. I mean, way under the shoes. Right? Let's call this bad. And some of them, they have some evidence too, you know. Some of them have evidence that they use. One of the evidences that they use is found in Bukhari. And this is collected by Ibn Umar, who narrated it, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever dries his garment, dried out of arrogance, that Allah should not look at him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Abu Bakr came and aside of his garment was hanging a bit. Right? He said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ أَحَدَ شُقَّ إِذَارِ يَسْتَرْخِي إِلَّا أَنَ تَعَاهَدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ. A part of it dries unless I follow it up. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr. Now he's trying to keep it up, right? Why do you think he's trying to keep it up? Why is he not leaving it on the ground? Why is he trying to pull it up? If he knew that it was our right for it to be down, why is he trying to fix it? He's trying to fix it because he knew what the sunnah was. So he was fixing himself. He said, you know, and so the Prophet said, Allah will tell him, says, you're not amongst those who do this out of arrogance. Okay? And we said that was collected by Bukhari, right? Now some people look at that and they say, look, if we look at that hadith, what you can deduce from that is, if it's not done out of arrogance, then it's alright. This is what they call mafhum al-mukhalafah. It's the understanding that you get, you know, in the opposite way. Says if it's not out of arrogance, the understanding of it all right. You have a hadith collected by Imam Ahmad Ali Dawood and others. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his narration is said, Hadathana Musaddad. Musaddad was the Shaykh of Abi Dawood, one of the very outstanding scholars of hadith. He says, Hadathana Yahya. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. He was reviewing the hadith of one of the shiur. You know, I used to go over the hadith to see if a person's memory is good, right? And the person got to sit down with Sa'id, Yahya bin Sa'id al-Qattan. He told the person, now I told you to send me a human being, not a devil. He called him a devil, not in a bad way, but because what he was doing, man, his recall was so exceptional, he said, man, this person must be something else, because that's the zone. Right? This was Yahya bin Sa'id. He narrates from Abi Ghifar. Abi Ghifar is, as Abu Hatim and others have, his narration is sound. He's an authentic Yahya person. The only reason I'm doing this is so that people can see that the chain is sound. Ibn al-Mubarak used to say that isnad is from the deen. The chain that connects you with the texture of the deen. Otherwise, people could say anything. But I want you to see that the text is sound. He goes on and he says, حَدَثَنَا أَبُو سَمِيمًا الْهُجَيْنِي. His name was Tariq ibn Mujalib. Tariq ibn Mujalib is also yani sound. Fiqh, as they say. One of the people who is narrating this together. He's a tabi'i, a student of the Sahaba. He narrates from Abi Jurair Jabir ibn Sulaym, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says, I saw a man. The people, whatever he said, they would act upon. I said, who is this? They said, Rasulullah. Because this is the messenger of Allah. So I said to him, alayka salam, ya Rasulullah. This is how, in those days, some of the Arabs used to make this particular format of this form of the greeting for the dead, people who passed away. So he said, I said, alayka salam, ya Rasulullah, مرتين. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la tuqul alayka salam, fa inna alayka salam tahiyyatul mayyit. This is the way they traditionally greet the dead. Brothers say, as-salamu alayk. I says, anta Rasulullah, you are Allah's messenger. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ana Rasulullah. I am Allah's messenger. Allah, إذا أصابك ضر فدعوته كشف عنك. Allah, the one, if some harm befalls you, and you supplicate to him, he shall remove it. وإذا أصابك عام سنة فدعوته أن دفع لك. And if there happens to be a year of drought, and you supplicate to him, he will cause the vegetation to come up. Says, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ بِأَرْضِ قَطْرَى أَوْ فَلَاتٍ فَضَلَّتْ رَاحِلَتُكَ فَدَعَوْتَهُ رَجَّهَا عَلَيْكَ. And if you happen to be in the desert area on your mount, and your mount leaves you, and you supplicate to him, he shall return it to you. I said to him, I said, O Messenger of Allah, give me some advice. He said, لَا تَسُبَّنَّ حَدًا. Don't verbally abuse anyone. Jabir says, فَمَا سَبَبْتِ بَعْضُهُ خُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدٍ وَلَا بَعِيرٍ وَلَا شَاكًا. He says, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me this advice, he said, I never verbally abused a free person, nor a slave, nor a camel, nor a sheep. Allah's Messenger said, no, nothing. And then he said to me, do not consider any act of righteousness as insignificant. لا تحقر النشيء من المعروف. وأن تكلم أخاك وأنت منبسط إليه وجهه. إن ذلك من المعروف. Do not consider any act of righteousness as insignificant, even if it means speaking to your brother while smiling in his face. Because that is a good deed. And then he said to me, يرفع إزارك, he said, raise your garment up. إلى نصف الساق, halfway up your calves. فإن أبيتك إلى الكعبين, and if you refuse, then wear it above your ankles. وإياك وإسبال الإزار, and woe to you from having it beneath الإسبال. فإنها من المخيلة, because it is arrogance. وإن الله لا يحب المخيلة, and Allah doesn't like arrogance. And then he said, وإن امرؤ شتمك أو عيرك بما يعلم فيك فلا تعيره بما تعلم فيه فإنما وبال ذلك عليه. And if someone abuses you verbally or criticizes you because of some fault they know in you, don't criticize them because of some fault that you know in them, and the sin of this shall be on them. This particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wearing it beneath that is arrogance. We have a real clear statement in this particular hadith. We have one that is perhaps even stronger. And this particular narration is collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. He says, حدثنا روح, this is روح ibn Ubadah, Abu Muhammad, trustworthy person, the Shaykh of Imam Ahmad. He says, حدثنا زكريا ibn Ishaq. Zakariya ibn Ishaq also, all of the scholars agree that he is, don't even question him. He says, حدثنا Ibrahim ibn Maysara. Similar status, strong. أنه سمع عمر ابن شريد, that he heard عمر ابن شريد narrating, this is also a trustworthy person, عمر ابن شريد, trustworthy person, he narrates from his father, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed a man from Thaqif, from the tribe of Thaqif. تبع رجلا من Thaqif حتى هرول في إثره, until he jogged behind him, and then he took his garment, took him by his garments and raised it. And he said, raise your garments up. This person, he raised his garments up above his knees. فَرَفَعَ كَشِفَ الرَّجِعَ عَنْ رُقْبَتَيْهِ فَقَالْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَحْنَفْ تَسْتَقُ رُقْبَتَهِ. Ya Rasulullah, I have a deformity. His knees were rubbing and his feet were turned outwards. But his soul was pointing in. He was ashamed, not doing it out of arrogance. And so the Prophet ﷺ said to him, كل خلق الله عز وجل حسن. Said, all that Allah has created is good. The Sahabi narrating this hadith, he says, وَلَمْ يُرَدَكَ الرَّجُلْ إِلَّا وَإِزَارَهُ إِلَى أَنْصَافِ شَاقِهِ حَتَّى مَاتْ. Says, this person was never seen except that his garment was halfway up his calves until he passed away. That particular position that people have, that look, man, if you're doing it out of arrogance, then it's forbidden. But if you don't have any arrogance, the understanding you get from the hadith is all right. They have a principle in usul al-fiqh that al-mantuq muqaddam ala al-mafhum. That an express statement of Allah's messenger is to be preferred over something that you deduce from his statement. So when he says here, in the hadith before, that it is arrogance, and we see in this that a person was not doing out of arrogance, but out of shame, and in spite of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, raise it up. And it's difficult to say, man, if it's out of arrogance, it's prohibited, and if it's not, then it's all right. This particular discussion, Yani, is going to take a little bit of time, but we have another session to go into dealing with the husband and wife and the family and all of that. And we're going to stop here now, and before we go on to that, we're going to conclude this once we come back, and then go on to our other discussion, inshallah. BarakAllahu feekum. SubhanAllah wa hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.